Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, will John Kerry win the Nobel Peace Prize almost by accident? Apparently, he didn't think he was proposing a peace plan yesterday when he said this about Assad.
He could turn over every single bit of his chemical weapons to the international community in the next week. Turn it over, all of it, without delay, and allow a full and total accounting for that. But he isn't about to do it.
Or is he? We'll get the latest on getting to yes with Syria and Russia, now more of a possibility. And later in the show, New York Mets radio broadcaster Howie Rose, who has a book about his 50 years as a fan and then a journalist and then a broadcaster with the team, will even hear about the time that he called a basketball game here on WNYC. Should be fun with Howie Rose. But of course, today is New York primary day, and most of our program today will be our unofficial, informal, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll, electioneering, welcome here. Now, we'll do this in a few different stretches, beginning right now with an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll for anyone who decided on your mayoral vote in the last 3 days. Let's say Saturday, Sunday, yesterday, or even in the voting booth this morning. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-WNYC. 9692. And we'll get to the rest of you later. We want everybody to have an opportunity to do a little electioneering who wants to. But if you decided over the weekend or even since on your mayoral primary vote, call in to be one of our first callers right now and tell us a little bit about your indecision and on whom you finally landed. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, unscientific as this is, this may help us see a little bit whether there will be a runoff election or if so many late deciders are riding the de Blasio wave that you'll ride him right to the nomination today without a runoff. So if you've decided in the last few days, call us right now, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And if you voted in the Republican mayoral primary, did you decide in the last few days between Loda or Katsimatidis or George McDonald? 212-433-WNYC on that, but we're looking for late deciders. Someone I know who encountered a line this morning speculated that some people were standing there with hands twitching over de Blasio, Thompson, and Quinn and taking extra time to have ambivalence and doubt before going ahead, and that was slowing down the line. Were you one of those people? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And, of course, there's the great debate about whether you say lever machine or lever machine, and were you standing in line or online? I guess if you grew up in Queens like me, you were standing online to vote at a lever machine. but what about for you? 212-433-WNYC. Okay, late deciders, if you finally had some moments to kick back on the weekend and decide who to vote for on Saturday or Sunday or then yesterday or even in the voting booth this morning, it's 10:03. Have you decided yet who to vote for? 212-433-9692. And Jessica in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. So?
Yep. Are you going to ask me a question or am I starting?
Go ahead. You know the question.
I was going to say, I have been thinking for a long time, but it wasn't until yesterday that I finally decided I was going to go with John Liu, despite the fact that his numbers aren't so great, because he now opposes the Rockaway pipeline, the Spectra pipeline, and he is vehemently against fracking, and a lot of that came about from a lot of work from grassroots organizations that I've been a part of. And he's very approachable, and he's been willing to listen and learn and make an educated decision about it.
Do you think you accomplished something by running up the total a little bit on a candidate who you don't think is going to win?
I'm hoping that the numbers are wrong.
Jessica, thanks a lot. Thanks for starting us off. Bill in South Midwood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hi. In hearing Bill Thompson a few days ago, I think it was on your show, Brian, I just really became even more impressed. Serious, intelligent, moderate, and impressive. So Bill got my vote.
Thank you very much. All right, listeners, we have those couple lines open from the people who just got on and off, 212-433-WNYC, if you've decided in the last 3 days. And if you still, by the way, are undecided and you're going to vote later today, we say exit poll. It can be if you've already decided but you haven't actually gone and done it. You know, that's okay. But if you still actually haven't decided, we do have that Thompson interview and the ones that I did over the last 2 weeks with each of the top five, Thompson, de Blasio, Quinn, Wiener, and John Liu. If you want to go back and listen to them on our page at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show. But Anna in Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anna.
Hi, good morning. I actually had narrowed it down to three candidates and was not, I didn't really decide until I walked into the booth. And I voted for Bill Thompson. I think I agree with one of the previous callers that we could use a little bit more even-handed diplomacy and a little less strong-arming.
And who's the who would be the strong-armer among the other Democrats you considered?
Well, Chris Quinn was on my list. I don't have any objections to Bloomberg for the most part, but I think, you know, Bloomberg is an example of the strong arming, and Chris Quinn would be more of him. By some categories, I would be okay with more Bloomberg via Chris Quinn, but by other categories, I'm not.
Anna, thank you very much. So 212-433. WNYC to get in on Anna's line. I'll remind you early and often today, by the way, that I'll be back tonight at 8 for double special coverage here on WNYC. The New York primary election returns, obviously, and President Obama's address to the nation on Syria. I'll be anchoring with Amy Eddings and the WNYC news and data teams. We have an amazing first-of-its-kind interactive map that you can use at WNYC.org tonight to actually watch the returns come in. Area by area, demographic by demographic, as we talk about them on the radio. We'll have reporters out at headquarters and all that primary night stuff. And we'll also have the president's address, which is scheduled for 9, and analysis of that within our special coverage. So it's really double special coverage beginning at 8 o'clock tonight here on WNYC. I hope you'll join us. But right now, back to your calls in our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll on the table right now, an invitation for people who decided on your mayoral primary vote in the last 3 days, 212-433-WNYC. Maybe we'll get an indication as to whether there'll be a runoff and who might be in that runoff, unscientific as it is. Jamie in the West Village, thanks for calling. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
So when did you decide?
I decided last night. I actually was deciding between Bill Thompson and Christine Quinn, and I listened to all of your interviews, and I voted for Christine Quinn.
What did you hear?
Well, I was really leaning towards Bill Thompson because I wanted to force a runoff, but then I realized that he's been endorsed by all the public service unions, and it just made me very uncomfortable. Because I think that you have to pick the next mayor on who is going to do the best job of negotiating with the union.
Did you consider de Blasio?
Not at all.
Because?
Because I think that he's a one-note Charlie. I just feel like all he's proposing is raising taxes on the rich, and that's not a sure thing because it has to be approved by Albany. And I really, I loved his ad. But the fact that he has a son with a great afro means nothing about what kind of a mayor he's going to be.
Jamie, thank you so much for checking in with us, and I'm glad our interviews were able to help. Constantine in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Yeah, hello. It's a pleasure to speak.
And I'm glad you called. You voted in the Republican primary?
My vote is going to John Katsimatidis. I think, you know, he's the best person, the best candidate for the Republican Party at this point. Given the leadership under Michael Bloomberg over the last decade or so, I think John Katsimatidis is the most qualified to lead New York.
Is it his business experience primarily, and you want to follow in Bloomberg's footsteps in that respect?
Yeah, I think the most qualified candidate right now is John Katsimatidis. And I think his business experience is crucial. Given the size of New York City and all the businesses that are in New York City, I think it's important to have a candidate who does have the experience dealing with businesses, and I think he's most qualified.
What do you say to the critics who see Katsimatidis as, despite his overwhelming success in the business world, as maybe unqualified, or he says weird things, or he doesn't have these specific policy proposals line by line like Joe Loda does?
I think that the critics are unjustified in basically some of the arguments that they have. He has proposed, if you've followed some of his, campaign, his speeches and some of the things that he's said, you'll notice that there are certain things that he does want to get done. And so it's not that it's completely self-directed. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot that he has to offer in terms of, his stance on, education and his stance on, helping the small businesses mm-hmm. and the economy of New York
right.
City
right.
And his stance on various issues like public transportation in Manhattan. I think he's made it clear some of his, political views, and he's also being right. backed by the liberals as well. So I think,
Right. The Liberal Party.
Right, exactly.
All right, I'm going to leave it there and move on. Constantine, thank you very much. I appreciate you chiming in. And
sure.
We are taking calls from anybody who decided on your mayoral primary vote in either party in the last 3 days. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. All our lines are full for the moment until Elda in Queens gets on and then gets off. Hi, Elda.
Hi, Brian. This is Elda from Queens. I'm still undecided on who to vote for, so I guess when I get in the booth, I'll decide my vote. I'm leaning towards Thompson, but de Blasio also has great vision for the city, and I'm not sure yet.
What's going to do it? Are you going to walk in there and let the mystical hand, guide you to one lever or the other, or do you have something that you think you'll land on between one or the other that's going to make it for you?
I'm not sure. I think I'll let my hand do the guiding.
Okay.
So far.
Good luck with that, Elda. Thank you very much. And another still undecided voter, Ibrahim in Manhattan. Hi, Ibrahim.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I'm listening to you every day. I'm a cab driver.
Thank you.
But I'm parked right now, And but I'm like the other caller. I'm really not decided yet. I'm leaning towards de Blasio. But I'm also thinking about Thompson. And the reason why I say this, Christine Quinn is out of the question because of that third maneuver that she did. And then all of a sudden now she wants to say, this is all that talk. The thing with de Blasio and Thompson, from the first debate that I watched, these are the only two candidates who said they were against congestion pricing. Now, if you look at the way Manhattan is situated, they have all things centered in the city here, and yet they complain about the city, the island being congested.
Against congestion.
If they move the stock market to Brooklyn and some other places, and diversify the whole structure, there wouldn't be so much traffic here. This is where I make my living. And Bloomberg has made it so hard for cab drivers to make a living here that anybody who goes up against Bloomberg, who gets on his toes like de Blasio, will surely get my vote. So I'm not sure right now, but I think I'll have to do like the other ladies said, when I get into the booth, maybe my hand will direct me one way or the other, but it has to be de Blasio at first.
Ibrahim, thank you very much. Good luck on the roads out there. Call us again. Oh, the mystical hand gets a few votes here in this informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific last-minute mayoral decision poll. Let's go to Barbara on the Upper West Side. Hi, Barbara. You're on the air.
Hi. I actually have been supporting de Blasio up until yesterday. And then I did some more research. I read Wayne Barrett's article in the Daily News.
Uh-huh.
I read some information in Slate. I read about de Blasio's taking money from slumlords, as Christine Quinn did. And I've decided to go with Bill Thompson, and I voted for him this morning.
Barbara, thank you so much. Scott in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Scott.
Brian, good morning. And, you know, first things first, I just want to thank you for all the work that you've done here on your radio show, as well as the debates and the like. I think you've really done a great service to anyone that's tuned in, and really I understand the race much better as a consequence of that.
I appreciate that a lot.
And secondly, it was great to see those 800-pound voting machines back in place today. Those are great relics for sure.
It was like old times, right?
Exactly, exactly. When I got in the booth, I pulled it for Christine Quinn, and I settled on that about 3 weeks ago. I personally don't think New York's such a bad place. You know, I think if you've listened to a lot of the primary rhetoric, you know, you'd come away thinking that the last 12 years have just been terrible, and I frankly do not think that that's the case, especially ironically in the outer boroughs, where I know so much of the de Blasio base is based at. I frankly was really turned off by the Dante ad. I just wasn't comfortable with his exploitation of a 15-year-old kid, and I think if, like you were talking yesterday on the show, if the Obamas had done that, Bill and Hillary had done that back in 92 with Chelsea, I think, you know, you would have got quite a reaction to that. But I voted for Quinn because I think that she will keep the city moving forward. And what's very interesting about this whole election that maybe gets overlooked, although you've certainly pointed it out, there's such a big turnover in the city government. All the key positions, all the leadership positions are turning over, as well as, I believe, it's 40 members of the city council out of 51. I think that experience will help guide the transition smoother.
Scott, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. And just to be clear, I wasn't making an argument yesterday about the de Blasio ad being inappropriate. That came up. We were debating it, pro and con. I just want to be clear because of what Scott said. I definitely have not taken a position that it is an exploitative ad. And Adam, calling as a rare Upper West Side Republican. Ha! Adam, do you feel like you're a lonely man and in a sea of liberals?
I am, especially when I go into to sign up. When I go into the booth, I always see pages and pages of Democrats. I can't even find a Republican name among the workers at the polls. It's always an interesting experience. But I am still perplexed. I don't know who to vote for. Catsimatidis appears to be something of a joke. Loda seems like he panders to whoever he speaks to. And McDonald, who I would be inclined to support because of his compassion, the guy who spent 700 straight nights in Grand Central feeding the homeless and who's established the Doe Fund, has not gotten any play. And Brian, I would fault you for that as well as the rest of the media. But just because somebody isn't polling well doesn't mean that they shouldn't get attention with interviews. I don't know enough about him because he's been excluded from the debates to know whether or not he's worth supporting. All I know is that I don't love the other two candidates, and therefore I'm still undecided.
Adam, how are you going to decide then? You're running out of time, you know.
Yes, I guess it'll be a spur of the moment, walk into the booth and make a decision on the spot. I guess Loda's the reflexive candidate that you just have to go for, but I do it without much enthusiasm.
The mystical hand works both sides of the aisle. Listen, when you go to your Upper West Side polling booth, I hope they can find the Republican ballot for you.
Thank you.
Adam, thank you very much. All right, we're going to take one more for the moment. Then we're going to take a break and continue. And I appreciate those of you who decided in earlier times than the last 3 days or are even undecided still for your patience. And we will let everybody get in here as we go. Actually, the next one we're going to do is on the comptroller race, Spitzer or Stringer, in a couple of minutes. We're also going to open up the phones for anybody who's had a problem at your voting booth today using these old lever machines. We have Neil Rosenstein from NYPIRG about to join us and talk about some of that. I see Marty in Bayside is calling in with a machine problem. Marty, hang on. We'll take your call on that in just a few minutes. But just to remind ourselves that there are other races in our region other than mayor and Spitzer versus Stringer, I'm going to let Nick in Nassau County on here for just a minute. Hey, Nick.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
And you voted in the Nassau County Democratic primary for county executive, right?
Yes, sir. We have two gentlemen, Adam Haber, and we have Tom Swalzy. Tom Swalzy was in here before. And before Swalzy, we had a gentleman called Tom Galata who almost bankrupted the county. And Swalzy got in. He did make a lot of changes, but I wanted to keep an open mind on him. Adam Haber, from the get-go, it was all just negative attack. There was nothing positive, so I didn't know what was really coming out of him. I didn't know what he wanted to implement or what his ideas were, because it was just a barrage of negativity.
And this is the Democratic primary. Of course, Nassau, with its financial problems over a pretty long period of time, you're right, they had Galata, who was the Republican, as county executive, and then Thomas Swalzy was supposed to be this rising star as the first Democratic county executive in a long time, even ran in the gubernatorial primary against Spitzer back in 06. And then he was shocked in being defeated for re-election as county executive. Mangano, the current Republican, was in. And so it's going to be interesting to see if the Democrats can take that back in November. But is it a competitive race? Is Swalzy not a walk to the nomination because he's so well-known? Is this competitive, as far as you could tell, between him and Haber?
I guess, to be fair, it really is. It is a walk for him, I guess, in essence. He learned his lesson. He's a more humbler individual this time, and he had a lot of boots on the ground. So I know a lot of people that had a lot of contact with his campaign. So he was very well versed in not making the same mistakes that he did the last time. And I think to go forward with Mangano, that he will be a lot more diligent than he was the last time. I think he took some stuff for granted. Mm-hmm. And as a human being, I think Thomas Swalzy is more of a humbler person this time around, and I think in that he'll be much more diligent when it does come up against Mr. Mangano, because the county is still in a lot of trouble, and Swalzy did make a lot of positive changes. He cut down on the unions. He made some deals with the police. He done a lot of good stuff, and I think right now I feel like we've been in a holding pattern for the last few years, and for a very wealthy county, I'm kind of taken aback with how poorly things have been ran here.
It is incredible that one of the wealthiest counties in the nation per capita can be in such chronic financial trouble. So, Nick, thank you for your call. And, folks, we will definitely cover that general election race between the winner of the Democratic primary today and presumably Mangano as he runs for re-election in November. But we'll come back to Nassau in the general election. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Your calls on Comptroller, Spitzer versus Stringer, and any problems, or for that matter, glee you're having seeing the old lever machines at your polling places today, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Stay tuned. It's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific New York primary exit poll. Back to our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. And for our next stretch of unscientific polling, let's go on to the comptroller's race, Stringer or Spitzer, 212-433-WNYC. Let's just do the comptroller's race for the next few minutes, Spitzer or Stringer, 212-433-9692. For a time, Spitzer had a big lead in the polls. The more recent ones had a tie or Stringer in the lead. Who knows? Who did you vote for in that primary today? 212-433-WNYC for the New York City Comptroller Democratic primary. There is no Republican primary. Carrie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm going to vote for Stringer.
Was it close for you?
Yes. I love Spitzer. I signed the petition. But I just don't think he'll know how to be a controller, and he'll forget, and he'll think he's mayor, and then he'll just, you know, kind of make a mess there. I think he's very smart. I really like him, and I'm sorry that I'm pulling the lever for somebody else, although I think Stringer also is very competent.
Carrie, thank you very much. Carol in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carol.
Hello. I voted in District 7 for Spitzer.
Because?
I thought Spitzer would be a great
companions for John Liu, who are voting for mayor.
Carol, thank you very much. And Desiree in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. I haven't decided who I'm voting for comptroller, and I'm so torn. I am torn between, I know, you know, Spitzer is a good financial person, but how much weight do I put on his past troubles versus Stringer? And I had heard something and also read something about him having some trouble with some businesses that he had before, and I'm thinking, okay, does he have problems with managing money? He's going to be managing money. That could be a problem. So I'm so torn, and I don't know how to break the you know, tie in my head. So I guess it's probably going to come down to when I get inside the booth.
The mystical hand will
Which,
guide.
By the way, I'm very excited about going back in those metal booths because I used to go in with my mom when we voted when I was a child, and I'm so happy to see them again.
Desiree, good luck making your decision. Thanks for calling. 212-433-WNYC. Who are you voting for in the New York City Comptroller Democratic primary today? David in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, David.
Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
Good. Who are you voting for?
I'm voting for Spitzer, and I'll tell you the reason why. I have a friend, close friend, who lives on the Upper West Side, who's known Scott Stringer for years, and she told me the other day that he is really not that smart. She said Elliot Spitzer could run circles around him, that he doesn't know policy, he doesn't know anything. His staff does all the work for him. And I just don't want him affecting people's pension systems like that. He said he's a career politician. It's what he's always wanted to do. And he's not in it to help people. He's in it to get to the next level, which is he wants to run for mayor.
Not to support one or the other at all, but there are people who say that Spitzer's, you know, comeuppance was that he was the smartest person in the room. And how many times have you seen this with the, quote, best and the brightest in government who wind up making a hash of things?
Plenty of times, but I trust my friend in the Upper West Side. She's worked with him for years, and she said he is not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
David, thank you very much. Alan in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, Brian. Like your show.
Thank you.
Listen to you often. I voted for Scott Stringer in spite of the fact that I have thought over the years that Spitzer is a pretty astute politician, and he did very good work over many years, but I think he just kind of outsmarted himself, and his whole comeback just turned me off.
Alan, thank you. And Peter in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, I sort of have an ethical dilemma here. I'm kind of leaning towards Spitzer, but a friend of mine called me early this morning, and he's working on the Stringer campaign. He's a friend of the family. Said, calling to tell you vote for Stringer. I said, okay. So I don't know, is my ethical duty to follow my conscience choice or to my word to my friend? Or
well, I think when it comes to voting, your ethical duty is to vote for who you think will be the best candidate.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
I will listen to Brian Lira and blame you if my friend finds out and gets mad.
And so I'm still confused. So your judgment is for Spitzer.
Yeah, I think, as opposed to the last caller, I think he is very bright, and I admire his work with Wall Street or fighting Wall Street. And I think he's more of a transformative kind of guy. I think Stringer is a very nice guy. Probably I agree with a lot of his policies, but I don't think he's going to move this country or the city in a direction. Mm-hmm. I think Spitzer, kind of like de Blasio, has a deeper commitment to a change in the society rather than just this nice policy and that nice policy.
Peter, thank you very much. And David Edelstein is calling in, the film critic. Hi, David. Nice to talk to you again. People know you from Fresh Air and from Slate. So
New York Magazine, please.
And New York Magazine these days.
Yes, yes, yes. So, listen, a couple years ago, I put this great Alex Gibney documentary, Client 9, on my 10 best list. It pretty much documented that Spitzer, as a result of sort of crusading against some of these sleazy Wall Street guys, had been tailed once he became governor, and that was the basis of his come down. I mean, I'm not discounting his own appetite, shall we say. And I was all set to support Spitzer until I heard your show yesterday, and I heard about the mailer that accused Scott Stringer of supporting NAMBLA in what turned out to be very, very principled terms, and it wasn't by no means an endorsement of NAMBLA. And I thought, that is so unscrupulous. That is so deeply unscrupulous that I'm going to learn a little bit about Scott Stringer, and I'm going to vote against Spitzer for that.
David, thank you for chiming in. And,
you're very welcome. And thank you for the show.
You bet. Thanks for all your great reviews. Jose in Woodside, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jose.
Hi. My decision was a last-second decision because I had really decided not to vote for Spitzer.
Mm-hmm.
But then while I was in the booth and I was ready to push against him, I just started thinking that, yeah, I was judging Spitzer on something that had nothing to do with politics per se or his abilities to perform it. And I was being influenced by personal moral convictions that I shouldn't really be applying to the situation.
So you decided that the scandal is irrelevant and Spitzer is going to be the better controller.
Absolutely, because I had always held him in high esteem. But I felt that this was a moral character failing that I had to put into the formula, you know, way. But at the last minute, as I was standing there, I said, are you really, really doing the best thing for the city?
And
voting that way, so I voted for Spitzer.
Jose, thank you very much. And that ends our stretch of our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific. And I can't say that enough. Thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. But it is interesting. We're having an easy time finding lots of Spitzer callers and lots of Stringer callers. In our earlier stretch, among people who decided at the last minute for mayor, I was surprised. And again, this is thoroughly unscientific, but who knows if it might turn out to indicate something. Surprised at the few people who were deciding de Blasio at the last minute, at least among those who called in. So it's not like everybody decided, oh, this, you know, I get it now. This is who the consensus candidate is going to be. So it's going to be interesting to count the votes tonight. That's my unscientific conclusion from the calls that we've had so far. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. Freddie in College Point, I know you didn't get on last hour. Thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Who are you voting for? How come?
De Blasio. I was somewhat undecided before, but just a comment that someone made a few minutes ago about his son having an afro made me definitely make my mind. Being a Hispanic, brown skin with an afro, I know that he understands what people like me go through on a daily basis in New York City.
How about Thompson, who's African-American, Caribbean, and trying to put together the similar kind of coalition?
You know, I've heard him talk, and I know people say he's very smart, articulate. Quite frankly, I haven't really he hasn't gotten my attention, number one, because I do believe he has a lot of baggage, and all these endorsements to me are simply baggage. And I focus more on de Blasio because of his life, the struggles he had, being the public advocate also, mm-hmm. Being somebody who's really going to look out for people like me, and that's why I'm voting for him.
Freddie, real quick, since you're in College Point, are you voting in the Queensborough president race, and are you voting in the public advocate race?
Oh, yes, I am.
Who for a Queensborough president? I'm curious. Oh, We lost Freddie. Okay, so we're not going to get the answer to that question. Maybe we'll get the answer to the public advocate question from Matthew in Cobble Hill, who's calling to say he voted for Christine Quinn. Right, Matthew?
Yes, I did. I've just received a phone call, you know, when I got back from voting, and there was somebody who, a lady, who said, who was pitching anybody but Quinn. And I was wondering, you know, like, who are those people and why? I like the guy, you know, like...
is that a slur? I'm just gonna go. You know, we don't need that kind of language around here, so I'm just gonna go right now. Nicola in Brooklyn Heights. Oh, hi there.
Hey, Brian. I kind of knew right away that I was going to vote for de Blasio, but then as the campaign went on, I thought, okay, so maybe Thompson, de Blasio Thompson. And even though I was excited about the city possibly getting a female mayor, I didn't want this female.
How about public advocate voting in that race?
Yeah, public advocate. I'm definitely going to go for Letitia James. I'm more familiar with the stuff that she's done. She's been quite busy with the interest in the hospitals and the stuff that goes on in Brooklyn. So I like the idea of her.
Thank you very much. Margarita in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi, Margarita.
Hi, yes. I'm voting for mayor. I want Christine Quinn. It's not that I think he's decisive. I think he has experience. I think he will be a good leader. And I think that the women should have more chances in government. With a Spitzer, I will be very wary about a Spitzer inside a position lower than he has before. He doesn't want to be a controller. He wants to be, again, or a mayor or a governor. And the guy with so much influence, if he's a controller, he's going to really move a lot of his influence to try to make, what he wants in government. Perhaps that the mayor doesn't get what he wants in order for him to look better when he apply for being a mayor, because he said that's his ambition, to gain in a big power position. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was efficient in many things, but I don't like his judgment.
Yeah.
Not for the moral reason, but, for
judgment.
Risking so much being a governor.
Yes.
And having this on his...
Right. And Stringer, in fairness, was running for mayor, too, until he decided he couldn't win, and then he downgraded to controller. Margarita, do you have a public advocate candidate?
No, I am trying to find more information for the public advocate. I'm not decided, so I will go by my instinct, not by divine intervention, but by instinct when I went there.
No mystical hand.
But again, this thing about it really worries me. He in a lower position than he has before, and with all his influence, all his money, he can really create havoc because he wants it's mm-hmm. his thing, not the city.
Margarita, thank you. Call us again. And by the way, for Margarita and anybody else, in some of these races where you may not have started to focus on it until maybe even now, public advocate and borough president, for example, I did very short interviews with all the public advocate candidates that are aggregated on a page, 7 minutes each, and I did 7 minutes each with the Manhattan Borough President candidates and the Queens Borough President candidates. So if some of you want to use those as a pretty quick guide to getting an impression of those candidates, they're all at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show, just in case that helps. How about Issa in Ditmas Park? You're on WNYC. Hello, Issa.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. Who are you voting for?
I voted for Wiener. I voted for James. I voted for Spitzer. And I voted for Thompson in Brooklyn.
So that's Ken Thompson over Joe Hines. Why in that case? You're our first caller on that race.
Well, the New York Times did that piece about forgetting the detective's name. And it just showed the kind of incompetence on Charles Hines' side. And so that kind of swayed my vote. And then in terms of the mayoral race with Wiener, he's the only one that had ideas, and I can't believe people won't give him a chance. Whatever he has between him and his wife is between him and his wife, and I wish people would actually look at his ideas, especially about letting gay men donate blood, especially about parental leave for city employees. You know, those are really important issues that's taken a backseat to things like stop and frisk. And as a black gay male, you know, I think it's kind of important that we bring up these issues. And he's the only one who I felt was actually talking about them.
Yes, so thanks a lot. Sabrina in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Happy primary day.
Thank you. To you too, Brian. I'm actually interested in the Manhattan Borough President's race, and I'm a pretty enthusiastic supporter of Julie Menin.
Because?
Well, you know, it's funny because Gail Brewer is in my district, and I really like her as my council person, and I just feel like Julie would be a better Manhattan Borough president. I guess I came to learn about Julie through an issue that doesn't really kind of rate on the radar for most people, which is the food allergy issue. That's where I first came across her a couple of years ago, and she was just incredibly effective at getting, like, cross-contamination posters up in restaurants and EpiPens on all of the ambulances in the city. And I was just so impressed. She was chair of Community Board 1 in Lower Manhattan. And I was amazed at how effective she was and decisive. And then I just sort of started to follow her on, like, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trial that she got moved out of Lower Manhattan, or, you know, her very reasoned approach to, you know, the mosque community center in Lower Manhattan. And then she got these public schools open. I don't know. I think she's just one of these people that is just a really clear-sighted, graceful, decisive, great leader. And I've been listening to other candidates. I just think she's great.
Sabrina, thank you very much. There's a full-throated endorsement for Julie Menin in the Manhattan Borough President's race. Anybody supporting any of those other candidates can also call in that same race. We're going to check in for a minute with Ruby Kramer from BuzzFeed, who's been out and about today. Ruby, hi. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So where on the trail are you?
Well, I'm right now in Gramercy. I just left Anthony Weiner. I've been with him this morning. He just finished voting at Baruch College, which is a polling site, and he had a little bit of a problem with the Board of Elections. They couldn't find his signature in the rolls, but he eventually voted with his son, Jordan. So I've been with him. He's very confident, I will say that.
Did he have to sign a paper ballot like I gather Joe Loda did when his polling place didn't work?
Well, they wanted him to, but his campaign clearly wanted the photo of him going into the actual booth with his son, so they kind of took 45 minutes to call the Board of Elections and get it straightened out, and somehow they were able to. His name was in the voter rolls, but the signature was what was missing, so he somehow skirted this, even though he was supposed to be, you know, he was supposed to vote via affidavit.
I guess when you're Anthony Weiner, or for that matter, when you're Joe Loder, certainly when you're Anthony Weiner, they say, yeah, I know who you are, and then you don't need that voter ID. Huh.
Exactly.
Did you say this polling place is in Gramercy Park?
Did I see the other one?
No, is that where you said you are? It's Gramercy Park section of Manhattan?
Yeah, I'm around there. The polling place was actually in Baruch College on 22nd.
On the east side. What were voters saying? Did you get a sense of for whom people were casting their votes around there, other than Anthony Weiner?
I didn't find anyone who was actually voting for Anthony Weiner before or after he left the polling site, but I talked to people who were deciding between de Blasio and Quinn. That seems to be the choice. But most people I talked to were voting for de Blasio. I was up in Harlem this morning where Anthony Weiner did his first event of the morning, just a retail meet and greet, and spoke to a lot of people who were, in fact, voting for Anthony. So that's the place where he did his first campaign event when he got into the race in May, and he went there for his last. He called it his lucky subway stop. So he had a very friendly crowd there.
Ruby Kramer covers politics for BuzzFeed. Thanks for checking in, Ruby.
Thanks a lot.
And back to our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. Myra in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I was a resolved voter for Christine Quinn for some time, and the last couple of days I've been derailed by the knowledge that she has supported the construction of the 12-floor garbage dump at East 91st Street, with maybe allowing up to 500 garbage trucks a day to traverse through asphalt green, all of those playgrounds, idling maybe in lines for who knows how long, exposing all those children to the toxicity of those trucks. Not only that, there also is school district there, public housing. My only hope is that if she is elected, that if she lives at Gracie Mansion, three blocks up the river, maybe she will object to that construction.
Mm-hmm. But that was the decisive issue for you, the 91st Street Marine Waste Transfer Station.
Well, it seems that the only two candidates who've come out to fight it are Bill Thompson and Anthony Weiner, and I really don't want my votes going there. I would like to at least secure a runoff in the election, and I've spoken to people who are out campaigning for her who don't seem to have any information about it.
We could double check. I think that Quinn was on her own on that, and that the other candidates, those who are considered major candidates in the Democratic primary, had all opposed the 91st Street station other than her. So that would expand your base of choices. But you should look that up to confirm it, or maybe we can look it up to confirm it. Can we get de Blasio's position on 91st Street? Pretty sure he also, in addition to Lou and Thompson, and pretty sure Weiner opposed it too, so for what it's worth. But Myra, thank you very much. And Melanie in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Brian.
Who'd you vote for?
You know, after a lot of back and forth, I was an early Quinn supporter, and then I was really, really supportive of de Blasio, especially because now that I live in Harlem, I understand the issue of stop and frisk, which I'm against in the way that it's conducted. But, you know, the thing with de Blasio is that when I first moved up to Harlem, it was during the presidential election. I had so much difficulty voting. I called his office as public advocate, and no one ever returned my call. And, you know, no one ever even followed up on it. And then I started reading about this Atlantic Yards, I guess it is, and the disgruntled people in that district because of the affordable housing that was supposed to be worked out and never was. And then what I think finally capped it off was I tried to volunteer for his campaign. And I signed up and I said, "Are you sure you're going to take my name? You're going to," because I volunteer a lot. And, you know, no one ever called me back. And so I figured, you know, Christine Quinn, even though I understand that she's like a very divisive person, I think she's getting a hard rap because she's a woman. But I think she's also shown the ability to like really affect change and also to hear people's complaints. And when enough people complain, she actually works with that and she can change her mind. As a woman, she doesn't have to feel like she's stuck with her original decision, and I think she'll be a good mayor because of that.
Melanie, thank you very much for your call. Now I'm just checking because I don't want to give any misinformation about anything, and now I'm seeing on Huffington Post that de Blasio does support the transfer station at 91st Street, so we will triple-check that for you, but I think the caller was right in the first place about who does and who doesn't. Jorge in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hello, Jorge.
Hi, Brian. How's the voice?
Good, thank you.
Good. I voted for I was going to vote for Lou, but because he's my favorite guy of all, but I voted for Thompson. I think it's time to try a minority after 20 years of having the cracker and what's his name? Bloomberg.
Come on.
And
come
I voted
on,
for
you know,
James.
You know what? I cut the other guy off when he used a slur against Quinn. I'm going to cut you off when you use that term about Giuliani. So it's just not the way we talk around here. So sorry about that. Frank in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm still a little bit torn. I think I'm going to flip a coin when I get to the polls. I'm really kind of a Quinn guy, but, you know, in the last couple of weeks, especially when I listened to Anthony Weiner on your show,
you know, the guy really has some ideas, and, you know, his past is his past. Let's put it aside, and he's not a bad guy. I think he can do a good job. But Christine Quinn, you know, she's, you like her a lot, I hate her. She's got good ideas, too, so I'm going to have to flip a coin.
The mystical hand is going to rule Frank's vote in the voting booth. Thank you. How about Brooklyn DA, since you're in Brooklyn? Have you looked at that race? Nope, you lost Frank. Okay. Keith in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Upper West Side. Yeah, how, Brian, thank you so much. I was just wondering if possibly if Blasio pulls it out, and maybe it's no different than any other election, that it might be because of several single issues. I don't know if you remember the woman who called in a few days ago, the carriage horse driver.
Uh-huh.
She was very adamant about him supposedly taking away small business jobs by eliminating the carriage horses. There's a lot of animal advocates out here in New York City. We spay neuter cats all night long. We've been given no resources by Bloomberg, et cetera. And, you know, you've got, you know, maybe, you know, 100,000 people here and his housing. I don't know. I'm not a big, you know, I'm not strong de Blasio or any other candidate, but I just think he might be putting a patchwork of small single issue voters together to bring 40% or plus.
Thank you very much, Keith. I appreciate it. How about Manhattan Borough President? You have a candidate in that?
Tell you the truth, I don't even know who's running.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the animal rights question, you know, that group, Anyone But Quinn, is largely people who want to end the horse carriage business in Central Park, which she has refused to do, refused to end it as Speaker of the City Council. De Blasio would end it. And so the call that we got when de Blasio was on the other day was from a driver of a carriage horse who was upset that he would take her job away. So just to clarify that issue, where Quinn stands, where de Blasio stands, that Anyone But Quinn, that group, has a lot to do with that issue. So for what it's worth, then you can decide how you feel about the candidates based on those positions. All right. How about Joe in Forest Hills? Hi, Joe. You're on the air. Joe, are you there? Hello, Forest Hills. Joe, you there? Joe once. Joe twice. Elroy in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Elroy.
Yes, this is Elroy in the Bronx. I call to say that I as long believe in William Thompson. He will get my vote. When I get off the phone with you, I will go and vote for him. I also will vote for Elliot Splitzer. I will also vote for City Council Member Mr. Moore. Anyone to defeat Amabel Pamela.
Elroy, thank you very much. Here's some of what the website Decide NYC says about the 91st Street Waste Transfer Station issue. Proponents of the plan to recreate a 91st Street facility, the current structure of which has been closed since 1999, including Mayor Bloomberg for it, mayoral candidates Bill de Blasio and Christine Quinn, so I think that clears that up, Quinn and de Blasio on the same side there for the waste transfer station at 91st Street. And the advocacy group Environmental Justice Alliance argue that a new waste transfer station must open somewhere and that each borough and certain neighborhoods must bear their fair share of the burdens associated with housing a local station. Opponents, who include virtually every resident of the Upper East Side of Manhattan and their elected officials and mayoral candidates Bill Thompson and Joe Loda, claim that the location is the wrong one because of how residential the area is and what the station would mean in terms of safety, traffic, and air quality. So there's both sides of that. And finally, a clarification on who stands where. All right. How about Carrie in Cobble Hill? Carrie, you're on the air. Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hi. I was super excited to vote this morning. I've been a fairly ardent supporter of Bill de Blasio in the last couple weeks, even though I like John Liu too, but I just don't think this is his time. As about last night, I was actually undecided on the public advocate race, which is kind of unusual for me, but In the end, I ended up going with Squadron because I thought he was the least objectionable. I didn't really like that he was running his campaign based on his ties with Chuck Schumer, who I'm not a fan of. But, yeah, again, in the end, it wasn't enough to deter me. So I voted for him, and I was really excited to vote for Ken Thompson in the Brooklyn DA race.
I'm curious.
Time for Hines to go.
What don't you like about Schumer?
There are a lot of things. For one, I don't like how much of a war hawk he is. He's reliably in favor of most military interventions, which I think is problematic. He's not great on civil liberties. The list is pretty long for me.
Okay. Carrie, thanks for checking in. I really appreciate
it. Thanks.
And remember, folks, as you go to the polls, as you're going in or when you're coming out, not in the voting booth itself because you're not allowed, take a picture of yourself and tweet it using the hashtag VoterSelfie. You can also post it on Instagram using VoterSelfie. And we're collecting a gallery of a lot of WNYC listeners who are voting today. And it's already available on our website, WNYC.org, if you want to check it out. You can add to it. Just use that hashtag VoterSelfie when you tweet your picture of yourself just before or just after voting around your polling place on Twitter or post it on Instagram. Denise in Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hi, Denise.
Hi, how are you, Brian? Nice to talk with you.
Same here.
I voted already, and what got me out this morning was voting for Tish James. She's done an incredible job as a city council member, and I want to see a woman win, and I think she's the right one. She will make a superb public advocate. And my thrust for my choices is all around affordability. I want to be able to stay in New York City. I voted for Thompson because I want to see a runoff. I voted for Spitzer because people seem to be deathly afraid of him, and I know a lot about Stringer, and really don't think he's very strong, not against someone like Spitzer. I don't understand all this talk about moral confusion. That doesn't have anything to do with being able to do the job. People are very complicated, and they have very complicated lives. The other reason why I want to see a runoff in the mayoral race is this whole thing about these exploitation of children. This whole thing seems to be a misguided conversation. Exploitation of children is when they don't have enough food to eat or they don't have schools to go to. He's not a child in the child sense. He's 15 years old. I'm sure he wasn't dragged to be in that ad. So, you know, that's I felt it was going to be a wrong choice to use that as a form of exploitation. So that's some of the things that irked me about the about this whole campaign.
Denise, thank you very much for checking in. And Doreen on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Doreen.
Hi. Just wanted to say you are doing a great job, and I voted for Quinn. Although I was on the fence up until yesterday, and I'm a retired teacher, but I think Bloomberg has done a really terrific job. He's not perfect, but I think we need Quinn, who can be really tough, and because it takes a lot of toughness to run New York City.
Doreen, what put you into the Quinn camp? Let me ask you this: since you decided at the last moment and you said toughness, what was making you hold back? Why did it take you so long to decide on Christine Quinn?
Well, in the beginning, I was for Quinn, and then I really switched around to listen to the other candidates. And in the end, I think this whole thing about the child, and it was interesting that he has a son. The other candidate has a son who's Afro-American, and it gave me an insight into his family. I don't think it was something I would base my politics on, necessarily.
Doreen,
you know, people are complicated.
Thank you very much. We'll sneak one more in here. Steve on the Upper West Side for de Blasio because of his support for the transfer station. Is that right?
Well, not because of it, but in spite of it. I have children at Asphalt Green now for 14 years, and yet, so this is a very important issue for me, and yet I'm still a de Blasio supporter because his position is more nuanced than I think was stated earlier. He is for, as far as I understand, he is for the five-borough distribution system that would place these kinds of waste management centers in all neighborhoods, including the wealthy neighborhoods, rather than always in the less wealthy neighborhoods where they end up. And yet he is against the way that this particular one is going through mm-hmm. and against the way this particular one has been planned with the trucks that rumble right through Asphalt mm-hmm. Green. So right. I think it's a divided position in that sense. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it closely, I'm comfortable with that, and I like him for many other reasons, and so he did get my support.
15 seconds. You have a borough president candidate?
The borough president was a very tough call. There are four very strong candidates, and that was not easy. But I ended up going with my local, Gail Brewer, and I'm comfortable with that.
Steve, thank you for your call. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder to join me tonight at 8 for double special coverage here on WNYC. It's New York primary election returns beginning at 8 o'clock and President Obama's address to the nation on Syria, which is scheduled for 9. We'll be talking about both, and we'll stay till midnight if we have to see who wins these primary elections. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll have some fun coming up in a minute with New York Mets radio broadcaster Howie Rose. Stay tuned.